title of the song was Stand Up. The piece, the lyric that got me was, don't mind if I die on my way to salvation, something like that. But I'm going to take my people with me. Thank you, Nadia, for standing up when others are sitting down. Thank you for being a leader in this season of followers. Thank you. I would, I had to go Google the song so I could hear it for myself. Those lyrics are kind of deep. And for a young lady, 13 years old, to want to make a declaration that she will stand on her way to salvation and don't mind what happens along the journey. Thank you so much. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, yeah, young people have been doing a wonderful job this morning, all of you. Almost all of you have done something this morning. I might ought to push pause and start calling some names. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Affected by an experience to change. This season, we're talking about the passion of the Christ. Amen. I want to lift in your hearing a couple of verses, beginning at verse number 14. Matthew 26, 14. Word of the Lord reads on this wise. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Mm-hmm. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Amen. You may be seated. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. This is a passionate prelude to Passion 2. Last week, we talked about passion, that strong and barely controllable motion, passion, a state of outburst of strong emotion. Passion, the very suffering and death of Jesus. We talked about passion. There were some truths that had been revealed in the previous verses of chapter 26 of Matthew, for this is Women's History Month, and there was this woman that came running. Here comes a woman. She sought Jesus. She looked for him where he was. There was a purpose in her heart, a passion, if you will, that she would get to Jesus, because she had not just been showing up for meeting. She had not just been showing up at church. She had been listening, and she heard and received the word for herself, knowing that Jesus not long got to leave here. And she comes, and she brought with her a box of ointment. In her alabaster box, she comes to anoint Jesus for his burial. And don't you know, here she comes to do a great work, and she got some critics. She can't come without the critics. You can't do anything without critics. Somebody always got something to say. What they said, they described her act of worship as wasteful. That she wasted this expensive ointment that poured it on Jesus and ran down to the, what they wanted to know, what purpose is this waste? This is some stuff, but though they described it as waste, Jesus said it was something else. They said it's not just waste, this is wicked. It's wicked because somebody should have took that money and at least took care of the poor with it. Jesus had to let them know. He jumps to her defense immediately. Yeah, he didn't listen, Olivia. He didn't wait for her to be offended.
Right.
He jumped up and defended her so she wouldn't have to worry about nothing that they had to say. And hold up, wait a minute, watch this. Jesus speaks to them and says, what she has done is a good work upon me.
Yeah.
She has done this upon my burial. She has anointed me before I buried. And let me, don't you get it twisted. You think you about to do something crazy? Listen, from here on and forevermore, anytime they speak of this gospel message, they have to speak of her.
Yeah.
I am going to commend her. She is going to be lifted and exalted for the work that she has done here and now.
Amen.
She made history for pouring out the ointment.
Yes.
I wonder what y'all's history is going to be like.
Mm.
But today, this week, we see that passion not only can be good.
Mm-hmm.
You have some passion for good. But the text today tells us that there are folks who are passionate about some bad stuff.
That's
about
right.
Some wrong,
yeah.
About some ugly stuff. Passionate, just passion. They can't control themselves. They just gotta make it happen. They gotta make it happen. And so today, here we have this. We got a passionate proposal, if you will. Because last week, the traitor got exposed. He was exposed because of how he was carrying on around the crowd when Jesus has had to step in and put them all in check.
Right.
But so here it is. He says, I know I ain't by myself. I got some fellow conspirators, some folk that's going to go along with me. And this waste of the spikenard was enough to mess Judas up. It was enough to spur him on. And you can imagine how he felt within himself. You can imagine. He was just going on. He began to talk to himself. Y'all know y'all do it every now and then. He said, if I could have gotten my hands on those 300 pence,
mm-hmm.
What a generous commission I could have skimmed off the top.
Well.
Yeah. I still find a way to make some money out of this debacle. I'm going to find a way to get some stuff from him. He is passionate about, since I've been left out, I was left out of the Mount of Transfiguration. I've been left out of the Hall of the Good Talks. I got left out of the Garden of Gethsemane. I keep getting left out. Here it is. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to do something about this foolish charade about this king and this kingdom. I'm going to do something about it.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going to cash in on this business by selling the Messiah to his enemies. Look at the passion that we see in the text today as it relates to the passion we saw on last week. And he says, if Jesus removes himself like he done before, you know, every several times they had somebody had him in the clutches and he done slipped out. But he said, even when the enemies were obvious about what they were doing, Jesus had a way of getting out. If he gets out, well and good. He said, but I'll be one more richer for what I have done. And if he doesn't escape, that will prove him to be a phony. And I'll be better off out of this business. Come on, Jesus. He said, it won't hurt me to have made some money and then
right.
And some friends in high places.
Uh-huh.
You know, some folk think like that.
Yeah.
As long as I it'll get something in it for me. Yeah, put me in some position. Now, the Lord's enemies had already decided to keep a strict watch on Jesus' movements. They already got an eye on him. There, John 11, it says that the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. Yeah. So Judas now, he's looking like a patriarch by betraying the Christ. Because the word is already, somebody, if you see him, if you know where he is, tell us where he is so we can go get him. Yeah. So that's why it's recorded here in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14 that one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto to the chief priests. They were now partners in the crime of the ages. It's amazing how people always got to find somebody to go along with them. And truth of the matter is, they don't have to search too hard or search too far. It's always somebody ready to do some wrong. And so here it is. We have this traitor. He has his fellow conspirators that show up with him. But his fearful crime is his proposal. Hear his proposal there in verse 15. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.
Yeah.
That's his diabolical proposition.
Yes.
Yeah. It was the measure of the meanness of Judas's soul. Yeah, he would sell the Lord for some cold cash. This was the price of notoriety for him. I mean, it just messed me up though, because look at what he says. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. The members of the Sanhedrin, they must have been delighted. They must have got excited. All of a sudden, you know, they looking for him. They already put the word out. It's like all points bulletin. If y'all see this man right here, there's a reward for him. Yeah, they even got excited. Here he was at an end to their difficulties in taking Jesus. Oh, what a bargain. I can hear him say, what a bargain. They were not going to let this opportunity slip out of their hands. They got it where they wanted it. It might never come around again. But they did not regard Judas as an equal co-conspirator. They kept him at arm's length and treated him as a common informer. A whistleblower. A spy. Snitch. Judas made his proposal, and they considered what Judas had said, and they were going to give as little as they thought he would take. What will you give me? Judas says. It sounded like to me that Judas was going to take whatever they gave him to betray Jesus. That's how I read the text. What will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. That's a messed up situation. That's some evil kind of passion right there. Passion, a passion for a piece of change. He was selling himself as well as Jesus. And so here he is, his crime, his proposal, but the price. He said they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. That word translated covenant here is a histemi, which literally means to place in the balance, to weigh. You know, it's like, yeah, I got the enemy over here. Let me put enough money over here till it equals out. And whatever that is, that's what you're going to get for me. So here it is. They weighed unto him 30 pieces of silver. That's how that verse could be read. And so in so doing, they were fulfilling a prophecy that they evidently had forgotten all about. Zechariah 11 and 12 says, so they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Look like to me a whole lot of people miss Sunday school. A whole lot of people weren't paying attention at the meeting. Because if you, these Do y'all know these are church folk? Uh-huh. Did y'all miss that? The chief priests.
Yeah.
And it was more than one of them. Don't y'all miss the fact that there's an S on the back of the priest. There were multiple priests there, and ain't nobody got this lesson in the service. 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver were the but this is it gets worse. The 30 pieces of silver were the shekels of the sanctuary. Money that was supposed to have been used for the purchase of sacrifices. Money that's supposed to take care of the house of God. They have taken the money that belonged to the house of God and paid it to somebody to be able to arrest and destroy, to kill the Son of God.
Come out here.
Church folk.
Yeah.
Wish y'all would hear me today. This is what happens in the church. The amount was the price paid when that's what they would pay. If your ox showed up and gurged somebody, stabbed somebody that was showed up at the same place you was at. That's what they had to pay you. 30 pieces of silver. If they messed up somebody else's servant, 30 pieces of silver. It was the market value, y'all, of a slave. Jesus was only worth the amount of a slave. This was the Sanhedrin's contemptuous evaluation of the worth of the one who had healed their sick, the blind, their lame, their demon possessed, the one who had raised their dead and fed their multitudes. Judas must have considered it enough reward for his crime. But now he was their tool. They were going to use him to get to Jesus. They had bought him as well as the Lord. Here, his conspirators, the crime of passion to deliver Jesus unto his enemies. An insider who has been with him all along, who has reaped the benefits of being one of the chosen. An insider who knows all that he has already done.
Yeah.
Feeling a little offended because he didn't get limelight, as it were. Here he is, having sold his life and Jesus's too, and his future conduct operates in this manner, because at this particular juncture he hasn't realized what he really has done. And I heard Olivia in her message say to us that you've got to sometimes understand where other people are.
Yes.
You don't know what they're going through or what they are dealing with.
Yes.
But Judas, the text says, from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Immediately, he started looking for a way he can slip in and slip out and not be seen. He says, I'm looking for opportunity to betray him. And so the Sanhedrin no longer is worried about the feast day. They're not waiting for it to get over. It's not necessary. And Judas kept his eyes open, looking for a favorable opportunity to earn his terrible wages of unrighteousness. That's what Peter says. He looks to get his wages of unrighteousness. There were those who were so passionate about Jesus being taken away. I'm jumping ahead in the season, but y'all know next Sunday is Palm Sunday, when they came in with the hallelujahs, waving the palm branches. They're hollering at Jesus. But later on in the week, they're hollering crucify him. They hollering it with such passion, like they need to take him out. There are those who are going to beat him. Those who are going to nail his. You got to have some real passion to hit a hammer and a nail so hard that it goes through the flesh and bone of a being and nail them to an old rugged cross. You got to be something evil about you to press a plaited crown of thorns on somebody's head till the blood comes running down, till they can see the white meat. It was their conduct. Their further conduct continued to have them railing at Jesus as he's walking with his cross. They continue to rail on him, spit on him, gurge him, scorn him. There's such passion. Y'all don't see it. There's such passion that pushes Jesus to his passion. Immediately, it's not the ultimate passion. But passion happens because the great mob who has cried, crucify him, and the mob that has gathered to watch him die. He says, Father, they don't know what they do. Now, that's a passion to flip the other passion that ought to cause us to have some passion for the one who was passionate about forgiveness of wrong. I thank God that though I wasn't born until about 1970s, but all I know is that I had to be there at the cross. I had to be there at the cross because forgiveness has come to me. Forgiveness for some stuff I didn't know. But I'm even grateful more. Forgiveness for stuff I knew I had done wrong. There's passion. My proposal ought not be one that will sell me out and the Christ. But my proposal ought to be one like Nadia delivered to us today, that we will stand up for Jesus, that we will stand up and we will take everybody with us. Would anybody stand today for Jesus? Would you give your life regardless of what comes, regardless of what goes? And would you declare that I'm going to take my people with me? I'm asking for a passion to well up on the inside of you, that you will go for God and that you are willing to take your people with you. Don't try to go in by yourself. Nobody left behind. Have a passion for the passion so that you would continue to give God glory and honor for your life. That is dying, not being vain. Oh, he died, but he got up with power.
Amen.
And he declares, I want to give it to you. Wish I had somebody that would reach. reach for the power with somebody who had hands open, arms outstretched, ready to receive what God has for you. I wish I had somebody. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing to receive what you have for me. It's passion. Jesus gave his very life.